It's Fairfield County Live and Local. My name is John Kamal from 95.9 The Fox. I'm hanging out with Kenny Cash and John Malkin from Cheval and the Simple Radicals, respectively. How you fellas doing?
Doing lovely. Hey, man.
Great to informally meet you.
I know. See, well, we were saying in the pre-show too, like, does this count as face-to-face? Because I've like made friends with people that I've interviewed through this show that I have yet to meet in person. So I think it counts.
I think 2020, 2021, it does.
You know, it's new rule.
Yeah.
So, all right. So we've got Kenny and we have John. John, the Simple Radicals, you guys came to my attention about a week or so ago. You've got the new single out, the cover of White Rabbit. But I dug into some of your other stuff, too. Now, your album, New Revolution, is out right now, and it's streaming on iTunes, Spotify. I love the sound of this record. I love the sound of this project. It's a great 90s sound. It's perfect for the Fox. Like, you guys, you're not allergic to the major scale the way that, like, some rock bands can be these days. You know what I mean? And what kept occurring to me was everything that I love about the Foo Fighters is present in this album. But what are your influences?
Yeah. So first of all, thank you, man. And thanks for having us. It's such a pleasure to meet you. We were talking before, 95.9, when we moved out from Chicago, I've just been obsessed with 95.9, the Fox, since we've got out of here. I'm a classic rock junkie. So thank you for the wonderful work you guys do. So, John,
we have a bonus, John. We've got a bonus, John. Here we go. Now we got three.
John and a Kenny.
Yeah, I don't know how I'm going to remember all your names. It's crazy.
I'm central time here, so I missed you by 3 minutes.
Oh, no worries.
All right.
No worries.
Oh, I see you're...
That's 6 o'clock. Sorry.
Okay.
Don't worry, man. But so we were just talking about the influences of New Revolution, because I love the 90s inspired sound behind this album. So, John, I'm sorry. I keep going. What are your influences? What are the influences behind this sound?
When I wrote the album, I grew up listening to, you know, my influences. I love the sound of Cheap Trick and Green Day, and I love the sound of the Foo Fighters and Pearl Jam. And I mean, you know, the Zeppelins and all that, which, you know, we're just, you know, passionate about them as well. But I've always had kind of this stylist, even some Petty. I've had kind of this stylistic influences in my mind for years. And when I was crafting New Revolution, I was structuring a lot of the album around these types of sounds. And they are kind of major driven. They are major chord driven. Which as my shredding lead guitarist, John, is probably appreciates that every now and then. But I wanted to kind of keep the integrity of the classic rock sound and add a kind of a retro vibe to it. So we call ourselves kind of a retro / alt rock band.
Right.
So when people do hear us, it's funny. They say you sound like a classic rock band, but you know, you kind of put a new modern spin on it. So that's what we've been trying to accomplish. And so far, so good. I mean, it's getting a lot of great attention. And, you know, we're excited about the momentum of the band and the sound.
I mean, it's such a rhythmic album. I was surprised, honestly, that you guys are both, guitar players primarily, because there's so much, you know, the drums play such a large role. They really drive a lot of the songs, especially the more up-tempo ones. Do you guys write with a drummer, or is it just the two of you as guitar players?
Pretty much just the guitar players. The way I kind of craft it, I actually write all my songs on an acoustic guitar at first, including all the riffs, like the riff for New Revolution and Medicate. And I figure if it's going to sound good on an acoustic, it's going to sound good on an electric guitar.
Right.
And so I kind of lay down the structure of the song, ship it out to John, since we can't COVID, you know, get together like we used to anymore. But when we were making the album, I was shipping him out all these sounds and these ideas. And then he would lay down the beds, and the job would come in, and we talk about the different kinds of way he would thread the lead and the different sounds. You know, like we suggested like using the wah-wah in Medicate and building in the song Learn. I said, you know, it's kind of Pink Floydian. Can you construct like a David Gilmour kind of, you know, start at the bottom and work your way up to the top of the neck? And he did that. So we really kind of structure it based on the music, and then bring in the drums kind of to use that as an influence to create the sound. So we really kind of keep it kind of open on it, and it seems to work well.
Very, because I mean it has there's so much room in the songs. There's so much room. Things are left wide open. I definitely hear that Pink Floyd influence in that way. But, you know, I mean, without leaning too much on being ethereal, like there's a definite rhythm to the way that you do it. It's great. Now, John, other John, should I just refer to you as Jog? Would that help? The one directly below me. What about you? How do you approach songwriting and working remotely with your songwriting partner?
Well, most of these I get the ideas from John, or even sometimes they're sketched out completely, you know, without the guitar solos. But like lately, it's kind of like kind of go with a lot looser skeleton before we start putting our parts in, which is right. I like it that way. You get four heads are better than one.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. And now, recording wise, was this done? So I should say I should introduce Kenny. Kenny runs over here. No, wait.
What's up,
there.
John?
There
John.
We go.
John. Yeah.
Hey, Kenny.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
I don't know if you've met. My name is John.
Yeah, yeah.
It's gonna be hard to remember.
Yeah.
But don't worry, we're gonna get through this. Kenny is the manager of Factory Underground.
So go ahead, Kenny. Let me do the intro.
Go for it.
When we laid down the tracks for the album, I needed and John runs a wonderful studio in Chicago. But when I wanted to bring it locally and was introduced to Kenny Cash. So Kenny is one of the owners and one of the more stellar producers around with Factory Underground Studio in Norwalk, Connecticut. And I called him up and I said, I got a project I'm working on and I got some tracks and I'd like to bring him in. And at first I was like, I was kind of thinking small. And then Kenny and I sat down and we spent a fair amount of time together over probably about a month or so going through every single track and adding in some different effects and different sounds. And he's the one who produced the album. And said, you know, this stuff is actually not bad. You should think about maybe thinking bigger. And I was like, really, what do you have, man? So Kenny, and then I'd love to turn over to Kenny to talk about Kenny and Factory Underground. But Factory Underground, not only took it, produced the album, but then are creating the whole campaign from social media to PR, doing everything soup to nuts to try and, you know, help our band to really, really expand. So, Kenny.
Oh, yeah, me. Yeah. Not John.
The only yeah, person yeah, not named John.
Yeah, non John. Four non Johns.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh!
Yeah. There you go.
That's the winner.
Yeah. So, basically, my job is to make the artist feel comfortable, you know, and I'm kind of like a Swiss Army knife a little bit. So, whatever you need from me could be helping out on, you know, adding a bass riff or doing some mixing or a little bit of arranging, whatever. My goal is for people to feel comfortable doing their craft, making art, feel safe, being vulnerable, you know, and at the end of the day, completing the project to a point where they're happy with it, you know. I think we achieved that. And when we got done, John was like, okay, now what do we do? So that's when I kind of swung over to some of my guys. And that's when, you know, much like he had crafted some of the ideas with the music, he was crafting up some ideas with some visuals and some video concepts and things like that. And, you know, just like I'm trying to facilitate growth and, you know, that creative mindset, so do my guys at the studio. And I think that's what the, you know, they did with him, you know, coming up with some cool ideas for some videos and stuff like that. He's done multiple videos at the studio, not just his music, but multiple videos and promotional campaigns and ideas. So it's just fun for me to allow people to be creative and to be a part of that. I think it's what I love to do. So
I mean, that's so it's so important to have too. And if you haven't, if you're a musician in Fairfield County and you don't know about the Factory Underground, you've got to find out, because it's when you're spending the kind of money that you need to spend to make something that's quality. You expect, you don't want to just go in and just have no idea what you're doing and what to do with it. You want to have people who are there to help you and then help you after the making of the record too, which is what you guys do at Factory Underground, which is what you've done with, you know, I mean, Simple Radicals and just a million other bands that I've spoken to. One of the key places to the Fairfield County music scene.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Yeah. I told you I recorded a Christmas album at Factory Underground one time. One of the great musical experiences of my life. That's a story.
That's another story for another time.
But so what's, you know, what's your favorite track on this album? Mine personally is Emotion. I got to tell you, I'm usually like a high energy song kind of guy, but something about it grabbed me. It had like a kind of a Butthole Surfers vibe to it.
Yes.
I really liked the auto tune that was on there. It was such a difference from the way you handled vocals on all the other songs. I liked how different it was.
Oh, thank you. That's a very interesting song. And Kenny actually, because it's a little bit redundant, but Kenny actually helped produce that sound to really kind of turn it into a really cool song. It really mapped out well. God, you know, it's like Sophie's Choice. It's like, which kid do you want to say is your best? I mean, the song Medicate, I don't know if you knew this, Johnny, but, that's Vernon Reed playing lead guitar
from Living Color. Really?
Yeah.
I saw you had him on the podcast, but wow.
Yeah. So, and I had to call John up, and John, you know, John plays, of course, all the lead guitar, who's, you know, John Griffin right there is an amazing shredding of guitarist. But I it was such a sad call. I said, John, I got bad news for you. Your leads are getting replaced by Vernon Reed. And he was like partying. He's like, are you kidding? But I got introduced to Vernon through a mutual friend of ours. And I was taking him, this is when early on during the development of the album, and I was taking him through some of the tracks, and we were like at lunch in New York City, and he was listening on the headphones, and he's like, I was playing Medicaid, and he said, you know, he managed Vernon Reed, he managed Lynn Cullyland, he manages Poison and Motley Crue. And he said, I'd love to have maybe one of our guitarists play on one of your songs. And I said, okay. So I said, you know, Medicaid would be an interesting. And so he presented to Vernon, and Vernon like was all over it. And then he sent us like six different tracks, you know, he just didn't phone it in. And he was texting me. He's like, hey, I'm rethinking this song. I'm like, oh, take your time, man. You know, you're Vernon Reed. And then so I got the tracks and I went to Factory Underground and we all sat in there, and Kenny and Ethan Isaac was the other owner. And we were all sitting in there and listening to just the shreds. And we were like, oh, my God, this is freaking unbelievable. So we actually ended up using little pieces of different tracks that he placed down to create that one lead bed actually all of them throughout the entire song. So that song, just listening to Vernon Reed played guitar is just insane. But I think if I had to kind of pick a song, that the song Learn, which is kind of that Pink Floydian, which I wrote about if you're sitting down with your kids and you had to kind of teach them about what the world is today. And so I started reading, you know, drafting this whole kind of diary about what you actually say to them. That's
so relevant,
right? You have to teach them not only how to love, but actually teach them what hate is. So you have to kind of teach them the opposites of good because of the world we live in. And so it's really, that song just kind of means a lot to me emotionally, but you know, I like them all.
Of course.
I'm a proud dad.
I love that though. And that is, I mean, that's such a, you know, I'm a new dad myself, and I'm like, I'm just so grateful every day. Thank you. I mean, he's a year and a half old. I'm a relatively new dad, but I think about that all the time, about how grateful I am that I don't have to have those hard conversations with him yet. And it's, that's just such a great message to just, to write a song about. All right. Other John, favorite song on this record.
Oh, I like, and not just because Vernon Reed, but you know, he's like one of my top five favorite guitar players, but I like Medicaid. I like to play it live. That's the best one to play live for me.
He's such an animal. They played at, obviously not this year, but the year before, is Chaz and AJ Toy Drive. And I got to meet him up close and
nicest guy.
All of the guys in that band.
Yeah.
And just watch him like 10 feet away. He really, I mean, what an opportunity to work with. It doesn't surprise me that that's your favorite track. Yeah. Man. And a producer's perspective, Kenny, what about you, man?
I was emotion too.
It was
really, yeah, it was. Yeah. I don't know. It just reminded me from the 90s, you know, something from the 90s with like a little bit of a newer twist. And I thought it was the repetition of it was easy for someone to digest. You know what I mean? So that was actually for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually think that one has the most licensing potential too. I don't know. That's like the business side of me coming out. You know what I mean?
If into that, then that'll be my favorite.
Right.
I'm easy.
Way to run a business.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. I mean, we're going to have to play it on Sunday now.
Yeah, there you go.
We're going to have to play it on Sunday now. And I'm talking to the Simple Radicals and Kenny Cash from Factory Underground in Norwalk this Sunday on 95.9 The Fox. For the people who are watching, we're going to be hearing three songs from the Simple Radicals, including one that features Kenny's wife, a cover of White Rabbit. So, you guys aren't just in the music game, though. You've gotten yourselves into the podcast game, and I had a ton of fun watching Music in a Brew. I mean, first of all, like, those are a few of my favorite things. So fantastic name right there, right off the bat. The episode that I saw, it was the first episode you guys had. It had Kenny Aronoff on it, who, for people who aren't familiar, has played with, you know, was one of the main guys for John Mellencamp at the beginning of his career, but also Paul McCartney, the Stones, like legendary session musician. First of all, who does your booking, and can you introduce me? Because that would be great. But what was it like talking to a guy like that?
Go ahead, Johnny.
He was totally upfront, totally cool, totally laid back. I mean, he's a, you know, the list of who he's played with is insane. So you can't even touch it in half an hour or an hour. But he was great. I saw him with Jerry Lee Lewis at Riot Fest, and he went on for 20 minutes on that. He was, you know, it was like crazy. Didn't he say he did one show with him?
Yeah.
It's pretty fun. He's a really fun guy.
Yeah.
One of the nicest guys. I think he's like 65 he's amazing. I mean, the guy's in incredible shape. And
he doesn't look a day over 40. I don't know if it was lighting or what. Like,
Yeah. But it was really cool. Cause we were, we came up with this again. This is our friends, Kenny and company at Factory Underground, and just kind of, you know, as we're learning more and more about, you know, the music industry today, a lot of it is just trying to figure out how, you know, it's obviously the music has to be good, but then it's how to kind of create this whole package around the band. And it's why you're doing the music. And the folks at Factory Underground said, Ethan and Kenny, they said, you know, you guys should consider doing a podcast. I'm like, wow. Okay. And you know, I never thought about that. And so we were coming up with these concepts. And then they came up with Music in a Brew, which, like you said, it's like two of everyone's favorite things
right there.
And the idea of cracking open a craft brewery. So what we do is we pair up with a musician, and then we find a local craft brewery somewhere. And then, you know, it's a way to help promote the small businesses and things like that. So Kenny, I also fortunately got introduced to a mutual friend of ours, and he was a little hard to book at first because he was a little busy, but then he emailed me, said, hey, let's do it. And he was fantastic. And it's really weird because when we went into that, we didn't really know what to expect. I know he's pretty out there in terms of in podcasts, and he does a lot of things like that. But he just, as you saw in the interview, he really controlled the whole podcast or the whole show, and was just, the storytelling was just insane.
He was the drummer, man. He's driving the ship. Every time.
Driving the ship. Yeah. The when they almost crashed and died, you know. And,
oh, my God. Yeah. That was right at the beginning of that. That was,
right. You know.
Yeah. I think, in fact, you said it. It's like that scene in Almost Famous.
Almost Famous.
It was exactly like that right? scene in Almost Famous.
Yeah. And then, you know, when he got asked to play with Elton John, he's like, dude, I'm, you know. These people are here to see me do the Jack and Diane thing.
So I wanted to ask you about that because that stuck out to me as such a moment. And I mean, you've got it, by the way, it's on YouTube. You got to look up the Music and a Brew podcast because this was exceptional. Kenny's talking about how he had the opportunity to play with Elton John, to join Elton John's band. But he sat down and he thought about that moment in Jack and Diane where he does the drum solo and everyone's doing it with him. Yeah. And he just said, no, this is what I do. These are my songs. I can take ownership of this. Those moments on stage are why we all do what right? we do. I mean, listening to him describe that feeling and just imagining what that must be like for him was incredible. But it did make me think, you know, I mean, we're all musicians sitting here having a conversation. What was that moment on stage for you? What was that? I would not trade this for anything in the entire world moment. And whoever wants to go first on that can go.
John, you jump in, man.
Oh, man. I got a lot of them. I had a show a few last year at Metro, a packed house. And it was one of those situations where we were an opening band and we were shortchanged time. Yeah. And, you know, one of those things. And so the lead singer just looked up at us and he goes, well, let's take it. He didn't say this. He didn't say it this nicely, but he said, let's take advantage of this energy that we're feeling right now. And we just slayed a packed house and it was pretty rewarding. It was fun. That's the most recent one I have.
Right.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And that was strangely enough with an Iggy Pop tribute band, but it was great.
Nice.
Yeah. For me, it was when we got the honor to play the Cutting Room in New York City.
Pre-COVID.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yes.
And such an honor and privilege to grace that stage where Sting and John Mayer and Lady Gaga and Sheryl Crow and have played.
Living Color.
I've heard of them.
Yeah, that was an awesome place. And
that was incredible. And it was a kind of a cool wintry night and we had a great crowd. And that was really that's when I realized to have that surroundings and that those resources at your disposal at such a high level. That was amazing.
Yeah.
That was amazing. That was a rock star moment for me.
Kenny, what about you, man? On stage or behind the board? However, now
it's like, it's interesting. I mean, it's cool for me because I'm originally a bass player, so I'm used to being in the background anyway.
Every producer is. I don't know what it is. Every producer I've worked with, they're always, it's like, yeah, bass. The best musician in the band happens to be a bass player. I'm sorry, you fed into a theory that I have.
No, so that's okay. Keep going. Yeah. I think it's a thing. I think it's just not even necessarily being the best musician in the band or anything. It's more just about like being comfortable being behind the scenes. You know what I mean? Because right. It's like you could take the bass player out of any band and all of a sudden you see they're missing. you'd be like, oh my God, something's missing. But when he's the bass player's in the band, you're like, who's the guy off on the stage? Kind of just, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know what I mean? Or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. So nowadays it's really more comes from other bands. You know what I mean? The other bands' victories and stuff like that, people that I've produced and stuff like that. Like now, you know, watching, you know, could be these guys, you know, at the Cutting Room or a band I produced, Goose, just did, you know, played the top of Radio City, you know, and, you know.
You did that show? You did Goosemas this year?
No. Well, Goosemas started at the Factory Underground, but I've produced Goose's records for the past, I guess now, whatever. I mixed the records for the past, whatever, 5-6 years now.
Oh, I love those guys. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Great.
Really
yeah,
nice
yeah.
guys.
Yeah. So yeah, and you know, it's like comes from other people's victories now, you know what I mean? Which is cool. So I get that same feeling. But yeah. Right.
I'll tell you, I mean, you know, Johnny, people are starting to blow up on the comments here with about that Cutting Room show. That apparently left an impression.
Yeah.
I'm loving it, man. Kenny, see, you know what? That's funny because I knew that they recorded at the Factory Underground. They were one of the first guests that I had on this podcast.
Oh, really?
Back before it was connected with the Fox. Anyway, those guys are awesome. I could talk about Goose all day. But so the second half of this podcast, though, I love, which is the beer component. So I'm what you would call an amateur beer snob. Like, I'm not like actually good at it. I just kind of like trendy. I don't know though, because you guys seemed like you were like you knew what you were talking about. What makes a great beer? Because I know about my trendy IPAs and all that nonsense, but like, what really makes a great beer?
I don't remember the second half of any of those shows.
Well done,
Johnny. Run with that one, man.
You know the one down in Indiana, the one with Kenny Arnoff.
Bloomington Brewing Company. I got their I'm wearing their jacket.
Yeah, that stuff was killer. In fact, I was mixed up today. I thought this was going to be a Brewing View. I was going to the front yard for the front porch every hour looking for beer.
I mean, you guys can do what you want to do. I'm in the office, so I got, you know, but if we weren't.
It's great. And, you know, the artists pick the beer so that, you know, so far we haven't had any. We're like, oh, that's no good. I dug them all.
Yeah, we got our next one's coming up with Todd Zuckerman, who's a drummer for Styx, I think he was voted the number one progressive drummer in the world. I mean, he's absolutely an insane drummer, and he's down in Austin, so we picked the Austin Beer Garden beer, so it'd be kind of fun and all that. But I think your question, Johnny, I think the I'm not a huge IPA guy. I'm not a really hoppy guy. I'm kind of more of a smooth. I like the ambers, and actually one of my favorite beers is Guinness of all beers and all that. It's just I love the, it looks like it's a rich bottle of paint, but man, it just tastes good.
Yeah.
Love down in that.
Yeah.
Kenny, what do you like, man?
Me? I'm actually opposite. I used to hate IPAs, but when I was like touring, you know, they wouldn't give you drinks. So to like get the strongest beer that you could, like I wanted the highest alcohol percentage that I could get.
You got to get the double IPA.
Yeah. When they give you like two drink tickets, it's like, well, how am I going to get, you know, what I better drink the strongest beer. So I get the truck and now I can't go. It's like, it'd probably be like the equivalent of smoking like Marlboro Reds to go into like, you know, a menthol or something.
Right.
I can't drink another beer because I need that hoppiness, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's funny. So
you got to make those two drink tickets. You got to get miles out of those.
I know.
That's right.
Yeah. Kenny also has a new kid, which is why he's probably downing the hoppiness right now.
Yeah.
Hoppiness equals happiness.
Yeah, exactly. We move straight to tequila now. So
you got to cut out the middleman. The yeast has no part in this.
You have an intravenous
tequila. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, yeah. Music and a Brew podcast. Check that out because, I mean, listen, like I said, it's a few of my favorite things right there. It's everything you want in a music and beer related podcast. I was loving it. So, all right. So, this Sunday on 95.9 The Fox, we're going to be playing three songs from the Simple Radicals, who I'm talking to right now. And you've got this new single, White Rabbit. We played it last Sunday for the first time. And I can't remember if we were live yet, but I was saying earlier to you that it's tonally got such a difference from so much of the other stuff that I've heard. Can you talk about the creation of that? First, I guess, why White Rabbit? Why that particular cover?
Well, I love the song White Rabbit. And we used to play White Rabbit in the several bands I played with over the years. We used to play a cover of White Rabbit. And for whatever reason, that one song just absolutely always brought the house down. And I was just like stunned. You know, I mean, some people had never heard it before. And we do our own, you know, we'd rock it up a little bit. It wasn't as I don't want to say empty. It wasn't as kind of 60s sounding. It was obviously a lot more rocked out.
Yeah.
And so for years, I just had this concept of wanting to do a cover of White Rabbit. So again, I had this idea. I talked about it with John. And John was like, yeah, we should think about it. Let's do it. So I went to Kenny.
And my initial thought was to do it with rap, and about, you know, kind of integrating rap within the, you know, the way the song was constructed.
Yeah.
We're kind of looking at that. And I made a scratch track and did a really poor version of a rap of just like reading a dictionary just to like placeholder words to show Kenny, this is what I was thinking. And then he thought about it, and he's like, you know, I don't know, man. It's like, we talking 70s rap, or we talking 90s? I'm like, I don't know. I had this idea, concept on that. So Kenny and his beautiful wife, Laura, have this incredible team they call Cheval. And he said, well, let me think about it. And so he and Laura sat down, and then we started constructing these ideas behind a really kind of Billie Eilish-y kind of more poppy,
yeah,
you know, surreal, ethereal sounding song. And I said, yeah, I'm starting to dig it. I'm starting to dig it. I'm getting into it. And then they started, you know, we started producing it and putting it together. And the product with Laura singing and Kenny on the bass and John on guitar and is just, it really isn't, it's amazing. It's a total departure from our sound, no doubt, but it's what we love about being a musician and the ability to collaborate and just experiment in different sounds. And what a treat to work with Kenny and Laura on the song. And it really hasn't officially been released yet.
Yeah.
You guys, 95.9 was the first station to play it.
We had the exclusivity.
Oh, that
feels good.
And we'd love for you to play it again this Sunday. And that's, we haven't really, it's not happen. Even available on our web, on Spotify or anything yet. So you guys, we're actually meeting tomorrow morning at the studio to map out the launch plan. But
that's great, man. That's great. I didn't realize that we were the only ones. See, now that's I appreciate that, because it really, it's so well done. And yeah, I got to say, I mean, Kenny, just my compliments to your wife is an incredible voice. I mean, Grace Slick is not an easy person to do an impression of. And
yeah, she was happy she got to use her vibrato, because in a lot of, like, sometimes now with some of the stuff she does, she can't, she'd be like, oh, you know, there's not a lot of vibrato in pop or whatever she might be working on, demoing or whatever. So she was like, oh, cool, I get to use a vibrato.
I mean, that song has all the vibrato.
Yeah,
that song in particular. But you know, I mean, it's funny, John, how you're saying that that it's so unlike, because it is unlike some of your older material. But I can still hear, you know, I mean, you're saying that there is such a Billie Eilish, you know, modern pop influence, and that's there 100%. But I also, Keith, who's on Afternoons on the Fox, I was talking to him about it, also heard a ton of industrial, a lot of, like, you know, like Nine Inch Nails happening in there.
Yes,
which does tie into this, like, you know, to the very 90s sound that you guys do so well. So I think it's a case of one of those things where if you're a musician and you really have your own sound figured out, you can't get away from yourself no matter how hard you try. You know what I mean? In a good way.
You're right. And it's, you know, that's the whole idea we were talking about earlier about these influences that, you know, when you sit down and start crafting the song and creating or building off a riff or a sound, you really find yourself being affected by the sounds that have just been ingrained in your head over the years about the certain bands that you, and the certain little song or riff idea you picked up from a petty tune that stuck in your head and all that. You know, you don't want to plagiarize, yeah, but you just have these ideas. And I mean, and Kenny is just such a genius at that, of being able to take this concept that we had of White Rabbit that's been around for 50 years now and create, like you said, this in the take to date, keep the integrity of our sound,
yeah,
for the Simple Radicals, but then add in a lot of this industrial strength sound and this, you know, this modern kind of poppier sound and create this wonderful orchestration of the song. And we're actually going to send it to Starship now. I mean, Kathy Richardson, who's the lead singer of Starship, is originally from Chicago. So we have that connection,
really?
From years back. And so I'm
Jefferson Starship.
Oh, well, she sings with the band now. She's the lead singer of Starship now.
That's so cool. I was like, wait, Starship, what am I missing? And then I was like, oh, wait a minute. And then it just clicked. I'm sorry. That's awesome.
Yeah. So we're going to reach out to Kathy. I actually had met Kathy many, many years ago in Chicago, because when I was playing in the band, we were doing a lot of band circuits,
yeah,
the same clubs, and got a chance to meet her a couple times. And one of the most amazing vocalists I've ever heard. But yeah, we want to get that in their hands and love to get their thoughts on it.
Build that city on rock and roll, baby.
There you go.
That's fantastic. That's it. Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, I could do this all night, but I mean, you know, for people who are watching at home, make sure this Sunday that you're tuning into 95.9 The Fox. If you don't live in Fairfield County, Connecticut, stream 959thefox.com. We're going to be hearing three songs from the Simple Radicals, John and John, the two gentlemen down here, and all of this produced at Factory Underground in Norwalk, Connecticut, one of the greatest places to get, you know, not only your recordings done, but your marketing done, social media, all of that stuff. Kenny from Cheval, thank you guys all so much for sitting down with me tonight. This was so much fun.
Johnny, thanks, man. Totally appreciate it, brother.
Absolutely, guys. Stick around after I pull us off the live feed. But for people watching at home, thank you for watching. Thank you for supporting live and local music in your area. Tune in this Sunday. We got three songs at 9 p.m. on 95.9 The Fox from the Simple Radicals.